Okay, and we're back. Let's go look at some more pictures with Admiral Cooper. Please go to Rents.com, look under guests, look under Harry Cooper's name. We are looking at the home of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun from 1945 to 1955 in Argentina. Is that the exact furniture that was there then? I can't answer that question. I would suggest that the woodwork, as it was were the walls painted. I don't have an answer to that, but it certainly is vintage 1950s furniture. The table, as we mentioned, appears to me to be absolutely original, and again, if only it could talk. The beds, if you look at the foot of the beds, the footboard, look at the wear and tear on the posts. They look quite old, and perhaps they may have been there in the 1950s as well. There are two beds. There's a nice picture of a sink, a kitchen sink, which is stainless steel. That's a new one.
The sink thing is a new one, but that I believe was a shower room. You can see you've got frosted glass in the window.
Yeah,
and
there's a valve on the wall
in the floor. On the wall and a drain in the floor. So it would appear to be a shower room.
Yes, sir. Who showered in that room?
The walls could talk.
Yeah, if you look down. Below the stainless steel picture, you'll see possibly the same room, maybe another room, but same white tile. And there on the right is what appears to be a shower head up there. Two controls.
Right. This room was right next to that first room there.
Uh-huh. Okay, and there's a toilet and a sink. And that's circa 1950s, I would say, too.
Oh, easy that. Yeah, I remember my grandparents' house that was built in the 40s, I think it was, had stuff like this in it.
Well, there you go. And there's another bathroom to take a look at. Then we have a drawing. What's this drawing of? Is that some architectural elevations that are original of the house?
That's the house.
Wow.
If you look at the first one, the one where Shark Hunter's name is in red, that's looking down from the air.
Right.
And way to the left of that picture, that would be the main house that we've been just looking at. And behind it are some of the other houses and flores. I think, I don't have any Spanish, but I think it means flowers. And it shows where the driveway
flores.
Comes in.
Flores, flowers.
Yeah,
those flower
okay.
beds. Sure.
Yeah, and it was a fully operating plantation, although it was kind of small. They grew their own food. They had their own wells. They had their own power source. If your listeners go to the website and go to Argentina 2008.
Uh-huh.
They'll see them. There's a little building near the main house with a channel that was dug to run the water from the stream into the lake, and it was about 6 inches wide. And there's a generator in there with a little paddle wheel that goes down in there. And the generator is still there. It's all rusted to the max.
Yeah.
And they made their own electricity. There's another small building right near there that was the cookhouse, so you didn't have to heat up the building cooking. Another small building where they had a furnace and run the steam heat into the house. And that was all still standing when I was there in 2008, 2009.
Wow.
I'll find out in a few months if it's still there. Like I say, January, February, I'll be going down there. And anybody who wants to go along, let me know, sharkhunters@earthlink.net.
You're going to go to the house as far as you're concerned? That's
sure.
on the schedule?
Yeah,
all
sure,
right.
absolutely. My my friend down there, Martin, he doesn't like to bend the rules. He sent me back an email 2 days ago. There might be a guard. Yeah, so what?
Well, you've got the Shark Hunter's magic touch, so no problem.
Yeah, well, I'll just whip out some of my Russian documents showing I'm a honorary Russian submarine officer and start speaking Russian to him.
Maybe show him the autographed picture of Eva Perón. That'll do it.
Oh, God, that might get me killed. Who knows? Well, no, Evita is one step short of being a goddess down there.
Yeah.
And, 20 years ago, it was a felony to say the word, or to say the name Perón in public.
Hmm.
Now, holy cow, the Peronista party is the biggest one. Juan
mm-hmm.
Perón
mm-hmm.
is not vilified like he was years ago. And when Evita, wow.
Never mind that Evita was in more laps than a napkin. It's an old line.
Well, she was a hooker. She was a hooker.
Now, say okay. that in Argentine, at least.
Well, no, let's say she was a dancer.
There you
and
go.
After
an exotic
died.
Dancer. Never mind, yeah. It was lap dancing, but she was a dancer.
I wasn't there. But anyhow, his last wife, Isabelita, she was listed as a table dancer, but those who knew her had a different title that we can't say on the air. And I'm trying to I've contacted her, but I've written to her in Spanish to where she lives now in Spain. She just does not want to talk.
Huh.
And I can understand her point. She's living the good life. She's got a ton of money, and why would she want to rock the boat?
Well, you write beautiful letters, so I'm sure you've done everything you can do.
Yeah, short of showing up at her door and probably getting either shot or arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But we have that photo that's also on our website of her standing there with her right arm in the air, her perfect straight right arm salute
uh-huh.
in 1974.
Well, okay, there you go. I won't say any more. I'll leave that as it is.
She was showing us how high the snow was.
That's exactly what she was doing. Can you tell me where you got the pictures, the original architectural overlay of this? Where'd those drawings come from?
Nope.
Oh, well, that's a kind of a long, involved answer. Never mind.
You ask, can I tell you? The answer is nope.
Nope. All right. Did you even put an E on the end of that, or was it just N-O-P?
N-O-P-E.
All right.
Nine. Niet.
Yes, yes, I get it. Inalco. Now, what does that mean, Inalco? That's the name of the estate. That's the name
of the estate. I don't know where it came from. I still haven't figured it out. Maybe I should ask my Argentine
friends. Ask Martin.
Martin or some of the others. Hector. I won't go into last names there, Hector. But Hector is one who knows a bunch. There's another fella down there who had been a member of Shark Hunters, but he got a little miffed at me, I guess professional jealousy, I don't know. He's probably one of the best researchers in South America about the Third Reich.
Right, right.
But he won't answer my emails anymore.
Too bad. He loses.
Yeah.
Stupid
bananas.
Ego.
I'll try to help him get his books printed up here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's got his nose in. He's an interesting fellow. When I was there in 2008, my guide at the time.
At the bottom of the page, go to page 2, please.
Page 2, okay.
Yeah, we'll get that loaded up. Okay.
The fellow who was my guide at that time, he and I went over to this fellow's house there in Bariloche. And we had a great time. His wife gave us coffee and sweets, which is the normal thing. And then that evening, he and I and my guide, we had dinner at one of the nice places there, and we even had the old German guy who owned the place. We had him singing the Panzerlied and all the rest of the songs. So I came back the next year, 2009, with 10 people. We were going to have dinner at a nice place with the son of Erich Priebke. So I called him up and asked him if he would join us, come as my guest just to hang out. He wanted $700.
Now, this is not Priebke's kid.
No, Priebke's
this is the this
us.
Is the other researcher author.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's correct. And he wanted $700. I said, "Who the hell do you think you are, the Pope?" I said, "You're not coming as a dignitary. You're coming as a member of Shark Hunters, and I'm buying your dinner. Come on out." Nope, he refused to budge. So I told him, "Okay."
Wow.
kissed my stern tube.
Well, as they say, maturity doesn't necessarily equate with age. That's pretty damn dumb.
Yeah.
All right. So. All right. Load up that next page, and let's let Harry lead us on to Munich.
Yep. This was from our patrol last year. And when, to the listeners, when Jeff asked me to load up some photos that were descriptive of a bunch of our tours, I figured I'd start with this one and skin it down a little bit. And before, I had like 50, 60 photos just of this one tour. And I figured if I put in just a smattering of each and every patrol, we'd have to be on the air until next June. So just go to the website, sharkhunters.com, go to previous tours, and look at all the stuff yourself. All
just
the
understand, you can literally take, for especially you who are single, maybe live alone, older, don't have family, whatever. Go and take a trip once a week with Harry. It is a kick. It's so much fun, and then you're going to want to take a real trip with Harry, which you can do. This is a chance of a lifetime for you. You can take these trips and have so much fun.
Yeah, next year we're going back on the same tour. It'll be late September, early October. Munich, Nuremberg, Austria. But also we have another tour that's Berlin. We go through all the important places around Berlin, including the underground command post for East Germany, which is still there, just like the day they walked out of it. And we go east through up to as far as Warsaw, looking at all the bunkers, and we were at the very place where in the Wolfschanze where Todd screamed at Hitler in front of all his officers that he was a fool and he lost the war in Russia. The next day he went to take off in his plane and he was going to bring Speer with him back to Berlin, and somebody pulled Speer aside and said, "You look tired. Don't go today. Go tomorrow." And sure enough, Fritz Todd's plane got about 300 meters in the air and suddenly it blew up. We were at that very airport where the thing blew up. We were at this train station, which is overgrown, which is where Mussolini came to visit with Hitler, and we got, you know, there's those famous photos of the meeting. Yeah. We were there. We were standing right in that same place. Then our other patrol, we call it North Germany, we go to Kiel. We go on board the last remaining Type 7C submarine in the world, and the last commander was Hans-Georg Hess, who was my best friend in Germany. We go through that. We go to Bremerhaven.
Is it in the water, or is it up on land?
That one's on bunkers right on the shore of the Baltic.
Uh-huh.
We also go to Bremerhaven and go through the only Type 21 left in the world. It had been U-2546. That one's in the water. We go through that.
Still seaworthy?
Well, I doubt, because they've cut holes in the side to make entry and exit doors.
Ah, well, that wouldn't work.
But they pulled out all the battery cells, which is about a third or a half of the weight of any submarine, so she's floating about 6 or 8 feet out of the water line. And it had been modified because Germany scares the world when they have ocean-going submarines.
I know. Now,
so
I,
this one is
you mentioned to me that you're going to... And I don't know if this is for public consumption, so I won't be too, I'll be circumspect. You were going to see a facility that was used for manufacturing things. It started with an M.
Yeah, that's behind the curtain for now.
Okay. Yeah.
When I come back for our next show next month, I think I'll have some drop dead, knock your socks off photos.
Wow. All right. Well, great. That M was for mud pies, in case you didn't know.
That's right.
Let's see. The second picture. Oh, the first picture has a red circle drawn around
We want to talk about that for a second. This is in Munich, and the building right in the center is called Feldherrenhalle, which is kind of like a day room or something for generals and field marshals. They built that way back after one of their wars when they had more field marshals and generals than they had privates. But where the circle is, you see the people coming toward us. That is the exact spot where Hitler and all his followers, including General Ludendorff and Goering, they were marching to overthrow the Bavarian government. And they come marching up the street, and right about where that circle is, where those people are, that's where the Bavarian police were stationed with machine guns. You got to be a little nuts to march straight up to a machine gun. And I think there were about 23 of Hitler's followers that were killed. Goering took a couple of bullets in the groin area.
So they opened fire on them.
Oh, they did. Wow. They killed about 23 of Hitler's followers, and there were, I think it's three or four Bavarian police were killed. So Goering escaped. Hitler and Ludendorff went to prison for treason. Normally, anybody convicted of treason gets shot. They went to prison for, Ludendorff, I don't think, went to prison at all because of his fame. Hitler went to prison for a very short time. But that's the very spot where it happened.
I'll be done. Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Yep. Now, beautiful old city.
Speaking of beautiful, let's look at the next photo. Ah, I see. You gave me the lead line. There's nothing prettier than a young Aryan, German, Austrian girl, woman, happy, confident, smiling. And there's still some there. God bless them all, and God help them all, because they're being raped at a horrific pace. And I wish that they'd carry guns and take some of these bastards out, like a whole bunch of them.
You know, you can't carry a gun, obviously. I checked before I went this last time to see if I could take some of my tasers. No, that's a criminal weapon over there, too. And in some countries, I think Denmark, if you carry a jackknife in your pocket, that's a felony.
It's nuts.
So, but anyhow, lovely Lisa there is from the Midwest of the U.S. Her parents had been members of Shark Hunters for a long time.
Uh-huh.
They're heavy, heavy German extraction. Good Christian people.
Uh-huh.
Lisa, she came with us because she wanted to see what Europe was like, what her heritage was. And Greg's sitting there, just a great guy. He's from down under. He spoke better German than some of the Germans over there. And so he was my translator when my German failed, which was usually failed. So he came from Australia. Lisa came from the Midwest, and we are in the famous Hofbräuhaus, where I'll be in about another week and a day, which is where Hitler used to have his speeches, but they got great food. If you look down, there we have the Schweinehaxen, which means pig's knuckle, and you just can't finish all the meat there. It's pork. You just can't finish it all. There's so much of it. And that,
well, send it home.
Yeah, right. The thing that looks like a doorknob, that's kind of a dumpling.
It's a puffball dumpling of some kind, yeah.
It tastes good. And that's my plate, because you can see there's a Coke there, not a beer. I'm not a very good Irishman. I just don't drink beer. I never did. Even back in the days when I was a heavy drinker for heavy booze, when I was driving race cars, My crew called me Half Can Harry, because if I had half a can of beer, I'd be dancing on the table with a lampshade on my head.
What did you drink?
Canadian Club.
So that big mug would have been full of Canadian Club.
Yeah.
Isn't that? Yeah, well, yeah.
You develop a tolerance.
Oh, sure. Right. If I smell that stuff, my tolerance is gone. So.
We'd have a celebration. My crew chief drank Johnny Walker Black Label, and I'd get him a fifth of Johnny Walker Black Label. I'd get a fifth of Canadian Club and a couple glasses with a lot of ice and just drink it straight. I could go through a fifth of Canadian Club and still be straight as a stick. Now, if I have five or six drinks in a whole year, that's a lot.
Some constitution. That's amazing.
Stop
stammering, Harry.
Way back in the old days when I had an honest job, I was upper management in a huge corporation in sales and marketing, mm-hmm. and every Friday, bunch of us from sales and marketing would get together with a bunch of the guys from manufacturing, because there's always that internal strife. And for every round, I would have four to their one. I remember it clearly. I would have a whiskey sour, Bloody Mary, a screwdriver, and one other I can't remember.
See, that'd be throwing up if I did that.
If I did that today, sure, I'd be on the floor. But I would have just, it may have escaped you, but I'm somewhat of an egotist.
Don't ruin my image. Come on.
But then, and when I was driving race cars, not during race day, of course, you never do booze while you're at race day, but the parties afterwards and everything, we drank a lot. I remember one time down in Texas for the Texas 500, there was only one motel close to the track at that time, the Ponderosa, and they had a huge, big room, and everybody in there was drivers, crew, et cetera. And Al Unser and I used to drink together. I remember clearly he was wearing a black pullover and black jeans and black tennis shoes, leaning with his back up against the wall and his legs out at about a 45-degree angle, and a drink in each hand, and he says, "I'm not driving tomorrow, so don't let my glass get empty." And with that, his feet slid out from under him. He sat down on the floor, passed out, and people just kept walking over him.
And he drove the next day.
No, that was after the race.
Oh, okay. We're going to go through the break, Todd. What I want to know is, and this is really...
I talk too much, don't I?
No, I never heard anything like this in my life. Don't worry about it. You're so shy and hesitant and reticent to speak. I have to drag every word out of you with pliers.
That's the Irish in me.
What is it that... how did Germans, real Germans, and there are a lot of them there, reconcile the German government telling German women to buy sneakers so they can outrun Muslim rapists? This is not a joke.
I've never heard that one, but
it's a true story.
Okay, that I can't comment on because I haven't heard that. But I know it. You get the daily hot mails, and Germany is now becoming the number two rape capital of Europe. I'll have to send you a clip. I haven't sent it to anybody. I've got a clip that one of my German lady friends, she's an older lady, sent us. There's a video, YouTube, I guess. I don't know if it's YouTube, but it's a video that was put out by allegedly put out by the German government showing the immigrants, we'll call them.
No.
How to have sex with the German women. I didn't know you needed a video. I thought you just knew how to do it. But and some of the other stuff I'm hearing from people inside Germany, Angela Merkel is falling out of favor with her own party.
That woman needs to be, she should have been hung from the lamppost years ago. She's done more to destroy Germany than anyone else. German police call on all women to wear sneakers to run from Muslim migrant rapists.
Mm.
I'll send you the stories if you want to see
it. Well, I know last September, late September, early October, I was down there again, and right by the border between Germany and Austria, and this is when the first huge wave came in. And we have friends who have a little bed and breakfast down in southern Austria. Beautiful place, nice people. The husband is in the army, but he's high enough up to where he just goes to work in the morning, comes home at night. Their son is 25, I think, Stefan. He's a medic with the Austrian army. They shipped him off to the Hungarian border right away because, they have to check all these people for scurvy, beriberi, and walla walla, whatever. And so during the daytime, she's home alone in the hotel, and she's a fairly young, very attractive lady. She went out and bought two pistols in Austria. Who the hell ever heard of needing pistols in Austria?
It's bad over there. It's so bad. They have what they call rape gangs now, 8, 10, 12 of them, and they go out hunting. and they should be all shot down and buried, or castrated and deported. Seriously,
buried with 40 pounds of pig guts in their
That's right. That's what they deserve. I don't care what their alleged culture says. You go into a country, you observe its mores, or you don't go.
Well, it has been theorized that the influx of all these Middle Easterners into every place in Europe and Scandinavia, and trying in the U.S., is being manipulated by the people who pull the string.
Absolutely it is. George Soros just told Europe, if you don't take... No, I'm telling you. He said it out loud. He said, if you don't take another, what the hell was it, 500,000 refugees, Europe will be destroyed. That was a threat. I'll send you that, too. This is George Soros.
Europe is already being destroyed.
Yeah.
The euro is no longer as powerful as it once was. The European Union and their currency, the euro, was formed to primarily combat the U.S. dollar out of the Federal Reserve. But the euro is not as powerful as it once was, and not all European countries. Now, Britain was part of the EU, more or less. They never got rid of the pound. I was in Poland visiting with Igor Witkowski just a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
They're part of the EU, but they still use the zloty. So, it's an experiment, not in liberty, not in freedom. They didn't form the EU for the same reason the United States was formed.
No way. No,
70-something.
This is a globalist enterprise. All right, here's three headlines I'll read you, then we got to move on. George Soros warns Europe about to accept refugees or face extinction. All right? A Soros plan, blah, blah, blah. George Soros threatens Europe, absorb 500,000 more refugees, which they are not, or risk extinction. I'll send them to you. These are true stories. This is what I do. Okay. Now, back to our pictures here, and we got to get to some special pictures later here, so we want to make sure we have enough time. Okay, we're looking at it.
You run it however you want the schedule to go. I'll just follow your lead.
Okay, we're in a dining room with a pink tablecloth. And outside that, there's a big cathedral of some kind, it looks like. No, it's a hotel. What is it?
What, down below it?
Yeah, Munich 5.
Okay, well, first off, the big room with all the tables, that's the third floor of the Hofbrauhaus, and that's where they used to seat 800 to listen to Hitler's speeches.
Wow.
And we eat lunch in the floor below that, but we come up here to hang out, et cetera. Now, it's not a hotel. That's the city hall called the Rathaus. And there's one in that big tower about two, three levels below the clock. You see an opening every day at 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. When it strikes the hour, they got all sorts of little dancing figures coming out. I mean, they're people size. And at the very end, the Bavarian knight comes from one direction on his horse with his white and blue. And there's another knight coming from the other direction. And they get their lances out, and the Austrian, the Bavarian knight, always knocks the other knight off his horse. It's been that way for a couple of centuries. That poor
This escaped American bombers in World War II somehow.
Right. Well, they had selective bombing, you know. Certain things they left alone.
Wow, okay.
That's a city hall in Munich called the Rathaus.
Nice. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Nuremberg number one.
Yep, every major town over there, and some of the little towns too, they have an Oktoberfest at the same time as the main Oktoberfest is going on. This was the one in the town right next to Nuremberg. I just put that up so people could see it, and, all sorts of stuff to buy.
Very nice.
A lot of fun, and a lot of beer, too.
Okay. Nuremberg number two. Little tiny streets. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the wall. That's the wall.
That's the wall, the old city wall, right. It's one of the longest preserved city walls in all of Europe. And we're up on top of a tower, which was a 13th century watchtower. And it's not owned, but controlled by a good friend of ours over there. Probably doesn't want his name bounced around. He's the assistant to the Lord Mayor. And he has a museum a military museum in this tower, and also in another tower a little further outside the main town. And he takes us all around. He's just a wonderful guy. And we're looking down. This just happens to be one of the unique places we're looking. You see that building down below with the red front?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason it's painted red.
Ah, interesting.
That's one of the happy houses.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
This wall surrounds what we call the old city of Nuremberg.
That's correct. And we have walking tours. When we get there, our hotel is right up about where the word Nuremberg 2 is, a little bit further to the left of that. And so we can walk right across the street into the Kingsgate, Königstor, and we're in the old city, and all the old restaurants and the beer stubas, they're 400, 500 years old. We have one dinner there in a restaurant that was in business 90 years before Christopher Columbus set sail for the New World.
Come on. It's still there, it's original architecture, and it's still in business.
Yeah, they had to do a little rebuilding about a year ago because some disgruntled worker threw a Molotov cocktail into the place.
Yeah, but most of those buildings are hundreds of years old.
Yes, they are.
And you see, if you build properly with heavy timbers, they'll last and last and last. All right, let's go down to the alligator now. Nuremberg number three.
That's a microbrewery where we have lunch. The name of the restaurant is The Alligator, except that's not an alligator up there. That's a crocodile.
Excuse me.
We don't have, they call it The Alligator. That's the name of the place, The Alligator, but it's really a croc.
I got it.
No, it's backwards. I'm sorry. They call it the crocodile, and it's really an alligator.
Duh. Oh, you got your story straight. Uh-huh.
Jeez.
All right. Next, we're...
I got to take up drinking again.
We're out to have a drink, Harry. we're outside, and we're looking at a nice building with lots of very tall arches in it.
Right. This is the place at the far end of Zeppelinfeld, you know, where Hitler used to stand and make his speeches during the
party. Yeah.
This is clear at the other end, and you'd see Hitler and Rome and another guy, and then later after Rome got whacked, it was Himmler. They'd walk solemnly darn near a mile across this huge field to here, and this is where they had the blood flag ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, where Hitler went around touching the blood flag to all the other regimental flags?
Interesting.
It's still there.
It's a historic place. I'm surprised that they didn't tear it down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, very good. Okay.
Nuremberg 5.
Yeah.
That's the Luftwaffe Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it stayed alive is it was built before World War II. It was to remember the guys from World War One, and then they just added 1939 to 1945 date on the other side of it. And you notice it's in the form of a crashed airplane.
Brave men. Bravery is bravery. Both sides, you know.
Yeah.
Heroism.
Yeah, both sides. There were honorable guys on both sides.
Heroism, bravery, all that. Okay. Nuremberg number 6.
Right. We, right behind the stadium where Hitler used to make his speeches was a train station. That's where he'd get out. He'd go in the back door of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be in there again, which nobody's allowed in there except my friend has the keys to the city. And the gold swastikas are still inlaid in the ceiling, and this is where Hitler used to have receptions. This is the train station where he would get off the train. It's now a restaurant, and this is one of the murals on the wall.
Was that mural there back then?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. And then in Nuremberg 7, you'll see they keep the rooms looking like it was during his train station days, with all the suitcases up on the racks and the rooms like this all through the place.
Classy. Very nice.
Good food, too.
And
the trains still come thundering by.
Very good. Lisa, number 8.
There's lovely Lisa again. She's a really nice kid.
Mm-hmm.
When whatever town we were in, I promised her parents I'd take care of her, so I stayed with her. We could not pass a church, but what Lisa had to go in and light a candle every single church we passed.
Huh.
Lisa was inside lighting candles. Anyhow, this is the place where Hitler used to stand to make his speeches. And
that's the platform.
Huh. Yes, it is. And they didn't have the iron railing back then. I guess they figured Hitler knew enough not
to
fall.
And masses of people in front as far as you could see.
Hundreds of thousands. And at each spot along the outer wall, about every 100 feet, there was a searchlight that went up into the sky, and there was also a toilet there, you know, public mm-hmm. restrooms. And there would be hundreds of thousands of people, and that's part of where Hitler made his money. They had to pay to be there. Between that and the sale of his book, Mein Kampf, he became very wealthy. So we go there, and we stand on that spot.
And that's coming up on this next tour?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there in about a week and 2 days.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I have to keep telling my people, don't put your arm in the air because there's police. You'll get arrested, fined heavily, and kicked out of the country.
This is not a joke.
It's a felony to go around with your hand in the air.
It's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
Okay, no sense of humor.
Right.
What about the guy, the so-called bastard son? Anything more on that, just briefly? Does he really have letters? Do we know? Did you find anything out? If you can't tell me, don't tell me. We'll talk.
No, at this point, it's still up in the air. Nothing's been proven. We're still trying to find.
That's some of the most valuable material on the planet, if it's true.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Okay. A buffet, another. Harry loves food, and food loves Harry. And this is another.
Just a normal breakfast buffet in our hotel.
Wow.
We eat well over there. They love food over there, and we lose weight over there because the food is not loaded up with hormones and all that stuff.
Really? Oh, good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think it would be. Well,
this is
a sadness that I have to entertain when I think of what's George Soros and what's going on over there now. It's so wrong. These are not refugees. They do not need to be in Europe. It's all contrived. It's designed to destroy Europe. All right, here's a young lady with a mug the size of which that's a big mug.
Well, they call that a mass, M-A-S-S, and it holds 1 liter, and that's Lisa again doing what you do at Oktoberfest.
She can wink and drink at the same time. Now, that's
multitasking.
Thank you. Very good. That's the line of the night. Okay.
Multitasking.
All right, the Kampfhaus.
Yep. We go down from Munich up to Nuremberg and then down to Berchtesgaden. And Mein Kampf, K-A-M-P-F, was the book that Hitler wrote. He wrote part of it while he was in, Landsberg prison. And when he got out, he and Rudolf Hess rented this little house, and he finished writing Mein Kampf in this little house. And this is the foundation, which is still there. I'm surprised they haven't taken it apart. And right near there, and you'll see on some of our other tours, there are buildings galore that have they've walked away from them at the end of the war, and they've gone to hell. Everything wood has rotted away or was taken by the townspeople after the war for fire, etc. And it's all sitting there. We go through all those things, the theater hall and just lots of buildings and tunnels and bunkers. We go through bunches of them there. Your listeners will have to go see tours on
Shark Hunters. Look at the tours. You can go on a trip anytime you'd like. Eagle's Nest 1. Now, this is a tunnel going into the mountain.
This is the tunnel you walk through. It's about 400 feet into the mountain. Then you get into the actual brass elevator that Hitler rode. You'll see a picture of that shortly. We go up about 400 or 500 meters to the Eagle's Nest.
That's like 1,500 feet.
Right, and it's at the top of the mountain.
So they had to shaft straight down from the top of the mountain, put in an elevator.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep. And like I say, that complex is way the hell up. You'll see in a minute when we rode. Well, okay, look at Eagle's Nest too.
Yeah.
We're up on the walkway, and that's the town of Berchtesgaden down below.
Look how beautiful that is.
It is. It is a magnificent scenery. You can't take a bad picture over there.
No.
You can't get a bad meal, and you can't get a bad beer.
Mm-hmm. And part three we won't mention. Now, Eagle's Nest 3.
Yeah, this is a part of Eagle's Nest that people don't even know is there. It's only about 10, 15 feet off the walking trail. But these are the gun mounts for the anti-aircraft guns, the 20 millimeters and the 37 millimeters, and they're still there. Of course, you have to go over a bit of a railing that says Eingang Verboten, and you go there and take the pictures. And Eingang Verboten, you know, means shark hunters are welcome here.
It'd be fun if the guns were still there, just history, you know?
That would be history, yeah, but
everything
that had to do with any kind of weaponry at all.
It's a felony.
Was taken away, yeah.
I'm sure. So,
and you got to watch where you're walking really here, because if you take one misstep, you got about 2 minutes of free fall before you
realize
that you probably shouldn't have stepped there.
All right, Eagle's Nest 4.
Right. The real name of the Eagle's Nest is the Kelstein House, which means the house on Kelstein Mountain. It was constructed in 1934 under orders of Martin Bormann as a 50th birthday present for Adolf Hitler. History says that Hitler didn't like it. It was only there two or three times, but we've seen lots of pictures of Hitler there a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a magnificent place. The only reason this wasn't destroyed was because they are making so damn much money at this place. It's been leased out by the Hofbrauhaus, not the one in Munich, but another one in Berchtesgaden there. And the lower floors, which used to be the place where Eva Braun and her girlfriends would have lunch, or the guards had their own room for lunch, that's all used to cook the food down there now and store the food. So you're not allowed down there. I just happened to find the door and wandered in it.
Doggone you.
There's pictures of that on the website under the 2015 tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if anybody says anything, it just looked like a dumb tourist.
Yeah, I don't speak German. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Isn't this the way to the downtown? Doggone it.
Bathroom.
Right, yeah.
Eagle's Nest 5. That's a hell of a fireplace.
It's a hell of a fireplace. It is red Italian marble that was a gift from Mussolini when this place was... And if you can look into the back of it, the metal part, there's all sorts of neat sculpture-type stuff back there.
Uh-huh.
They've got the the velvet chain around it now. They didn't used to up until about 2 years ago. People could actually sit there and get their pictures taken sitting by the fireplace, but I whatever reason, they don't.
So Mussolini visited that probably when he was there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, thought you were going to tell me that one of the back panels opened to a secret labyrinth of tunnels.
I don't know. Maybe I'll try it when I get up there this time. Uh-huh. I'll see if I can find a way trick it.
Eagle's Nest number nine.
Six.
Nine. Six, sorry. See me? What's that mean?
Upside down.
What does that mean when you see things upside down?
It means you've had too many drinks.
Never mind.
This is the main room, which is now the main dining room. Used to be just a lounge area.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they would have the meetings. Hitler and all his people would meet here.
This is on top of the mountain, friends. Remember, way up there.
Oh, yeah. You're about probably 6,000 feet up, I'm guessing. And this is just a bunch of our people, our friends, a lot of the veterans. And...
These are World War II veterans.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And they have great hot chocolate, and they have great ice cream sundaes.
You would know. That's it.
Yeah, good. My doctor seems to think I'm flirting with diabetes, but what the hell does he know?
What does he know?
Yeah.
He probably can't even pronounce Entenmann's. Eagle's Nest 7.
Seven. Again, this is on the walkway around the Eagle's Nest, and you're looking at... you won't be able to see it, but right where that cloud comes down between a couple of peaks, center of the picture, you can't see it, I'm sure, but we can see it standing there, that there's a structure. That is the castle in Salzburg. We can see the castle in Salzburg, Austria, from up here in Bavaria.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's incredible. The scenery is just breathtaking.
Now, the next picture, number eight, is the beautiful brass elevator, still as it was.
Yep.
It goes 1,500 meters up and down that mountain. Now, Bormann must have figured this out and ordered it built. Somebody did. This is genius.
Yeah, it's 400 meters, about 1,500 feet, I guess, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, it's beautiful, and not too many photos of it, because there's a sign that says, no photos. But it's in German, so what do I know? I took two or three pictures before the guy started screaming at me. So, oh, okay, sorry. Those are my feet you see at the bottom of the in the mirror. So they keep it just incredibly beautiful.
You're wearing the buff-colored shoes.
Yeah, my beige bunker shoes. Boots. Those are my hiking boots.
Yeah. All right.
It's magnificent. And you're walking in history.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, our last picture, then we're going to go look at our stranger of the night.
Stranger of the night. This is a guest house. They have about 5, 6, 7 rooms, mm-hmm. and it's a restaurant down there. You see the blue green shutters, and the doorway. You see the door. The shutters on the left, the windows on the left. That is the room where Hitler, as a young man, would meet with Dietrich Eckhart, whose house was only about 300 yards up the road.
Uh-huh.
And this is where they hashed out some of the details to start the party, the NSDAP, the German Socialist Workers' Party, National Socialist Deutsches Arbeitspartei. And contrary to what the Spitlickers put about me, I was not run out of the home of Dietrich Eckhart by armed guards. It's still owned by the U.S. Army, and it's R&R for the Army. So I went there, and I showed him my Coast Guard auxiliary credentials.
Sure.
And he said, nope, just the Army. And he's an old man behind the desk, not a squad of armed security. He said, no, you can't come here because you're not Army. Okay, thanks, goodbye.
What the hell do those idiots care? What?
I don't know.
All right. Very good. Let's. We got just a few minutes left. We want to go now back to guests at Rents under Harry Cooper's name. And the last link, it says Mystery Man under Patrols. All right. Remember, you can go to sharkhunters.com and take one of these trips that we just did in brief anytime you'd like. There's so many of them. Now, click on Mystery Man. All right. Now, this is first pictures of a man wearing an orange and red shirt and a green cap with a very gold wristwatch on his left wrist, holding a small mug of looks like dark beer.
Okay.
You there yet?
Let's see. Yep. There we go. The Mystery Man. Yeah, come on, open up. There we go. Yeah. Well, I know who this is, but I'll just...
He's got a green cap on.
Yep.
He's not an Irishman. Mm-hmm.
Not an Irishman. His name, I won't mention what name he's using, but he comes right out and tells us this is a false name. He was born about 1940-ish in Berlin. He has so much history locked up in him, but he's scared to death to say anything.
Oh, is this the coward?
Well, you put whatever label you want on him, but he's scared to death to talk. We don't know why. You know, the war's been 70 years in the past, but his parents were very high up in the Reich. His mother was good friends with Magda Goebbels and also with Eva Braun. And, of course, not with each other, because I guess Eva Braun and Magda Goebbels were not the best of buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from what I understand, from another friend of ours down there is doing incredible research on Magda Goebbels. Apparently, she was banging Hitler, too, so I can see where Eva wouldn't be happy with her.
Mm.
But this fellow, he has so much information. After the war was over, his father disappeared. His mother took him, and they went to their coffee plantation in Bolivia. And my friend, who's a friend of his, has seen, pictures of him down there with various SS people. When he was 20, he got kicked off his horse, broke his arm, knocked out. When he came to, the doctor was setting his arm, and it was Joseph Mengele. All we've been able to get out of him so far, not out of him, but what we've been able to determine, his father was one of the most important men of the Reich. His father was one of the top scientists, and his father's first name was Hans. Now, that's too easy to say his father must have been Hans Kammler. Maybe it was, but we don't know. I'm trying to find out. He just froze up. He won't talk to me anymore. So if anybody can recognize him, I'd like to know. This is not Hitler's son. I don't think so. And this is not George Kennedy. And we don't know who it is. And he won't tell us. So if anybody can recognize
All we have is an alias.
Right. And the alias I'm not going to say because that will cause many grief.
No. I thought he'd be a real skinny, emaciated-looking fellow. This guy looks rather hale and hearty.
Well, he's lived in the U.S. for a good chunk of his life.
He's got a confident look about him.
Yeah.
What the hell's he afraid of?
I don't know. He was telling me about the Hotel Vienna in the 1960s, which is down in Cordova province.
Uh-huh.
This was built by German money at the end of the war,
mm-hmm.
had air conditioning, elevators, and a plastic surgery clinic. And he said when he was there in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
everyone staying there was German, and the plastic surgery clinic was going full tilt. And then he moved to the U.S. with his mother, and they lived in one of the western states, and they had a shop and everything. So he's eating
this
well.
Guy has an enormous historical bestseller in his mind. And
that's true.
These people, and I speak of Americans who have information that they're older now and in the twilight of their lives.
Yeah.
And I would just urge all of you, I know you took an oath a long time ago when an oath meant something. Don't take it with you. If you have to leave it under an alias, tell your story. If it's involving UFOs, tell your story. If
Whatever.
It's involving political intrigue, tell your story. Don't let it go. We must have the truth.
We've had members who have stories in them, you know, veterans, World War II, and they give me the whole story, uncut, and tell me don't
repeat this
until I'm dead. So we sit on it until the person passes away, then we run the story. We, you know, we never break anybody's confidence.
Never have, no.
No.
No. Well, this man, I wish I could sit down and talk to him with you for an hour. Maybe we could get him straightened out.
He is
if you can't crack him, nobody can.
He'll be happy to talk, and he'll be talking away with this data, that data, these details, and then you ask one question, bang, he's like a whole different person. No, I can't tell you. I can't say. I'm so afraid. I can't say no more. And then I said, well, wait a minute. Why are you mad at me? I'm not mad at you. I'm just afraid. Okay, well, whatever.
All right.
Some of the things he told us fits exactly with what some of the things our friends in Brazil have told us. We've got friends down there who are great researchers, too. And it dovetails. So this guy is not making things up. He knows what he's talking about. He just, I don't know, flaming bamboo splints under the fingernail probably is illegal.
Yeah. Kammler is not ruled out, though.
No, Kammler's not ruled out because we know he came to the U.S.
Yeah.
The story of his death outside of the Skoda plant is baloney.
Yeah.
He was in the U.S. Our friend Clark met him.
McClellan knows him, yeah.
Yeah, and he met him in Dr. Debus' office in NASA.
Yep.
Dr. Debus, head of the German rocket program, was also first head of NASA.
For 14 years. Ran NASA.
Right.
It was a German program. Americans will never know it.
It was all a German program.
Yes, it was.
So,
all right. Well, that brings us to an end of this visit for this month. And next month, we're going to have Harry back after his current patrol is over. And he's going to bring back a whole bunch of new photographs for all of you to enjoy. So have a great trip, friend. And
thank you.
Stay in touch.
Righto, and your people can email me, sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and I'll send you the current issue of the magazine electronically.
Don't miss that. Thanks, Harry.
You have a great day.
Okay, you too. Night.
Bye-bye.
Harry Cooper, the one and only. Back with much more in just a few minutes. Hang on.